let's open our Bibles. And we're gonna pick up again on this subject of faithfulness. And as we do, I decree this buzz is going to go away in Jesus' name. It's going to leave. I decree it. I believe it, and it shall come to pass. It's a distraction, but it's going to go. You watch it. It's going to go in Jesus' name. And let's turn in our Bibles to John 3:16. We read this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're going to read John 3:16, 17, and 18 together, out loud. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, Sunday, I was ministering some things from my heart. I didn't really go over much scripture, a few scriptures, but let's turn tonight to Hebrews 11:6. I want to just look at this. This scripture came up in my heart to look at, and you're all familiar with this particular scripture. And we're talking about faithfulness, and of course, that has many facets of we can look at that and delve into all of them. But right now, we're talking about faithfulness to God, faithfulness to His call, and we'll look at some scriptures that give us the attributes of God. We know that He is faithful. He cannot lie. But Hebrews 11:6, one thing you don't want to get too far away from is faith. Right. And I'm going to ask this question: can you be faithful without faith? Some of you are thinking about that. That's good. But can you be a faithful person without faith? Well, some of you, you know, that's good. A faithful person, there are some attributes or characteristics of a faithful person, isn't there? You might say they're consistent, they're steady, they're trustworthy, and of course, they're faithful. They can be relied upon. I believe, isn't there a scripture in Psalms that says, "All thy commandments," I think it is in Psalm 119. You help me out here, it's come up in my heart, but isn't Psalm 119 saying, "All of thy commandments are what? Faithful." Isn't that what it says? Somebody help me out, look that up. I believe that's what it is. I think it's in Psalm 119. But that means they can be depended upon. That means they're trustworthy. So when I have faith, that means I'm convinced, and am I not? I'm convinced of something. I am confident. I have a conviction about something. So again, verse 86, thank you. Psalm 119, verse 86. What does that say? Are faithful, right. Thank you. All thy commandments are faithful. So when we have, and I believe that word faith, if you look in Hebrews 11:6, I believe that word is pistis, which one of the definitions of it is faithfulness. So when we have faith in God, you trust in Him, you're faithful to Him. And this says right here, what does Hebrews 11:6 say? It's what? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that He is. And He is what? He's a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek Him. So in other words, you could also say, for without faithfulness, it's impossible to please Him. Because one of the definitions of faith is faithfulness. You can look it up. But let's turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and let's look at this account again of the talents. I want to read that again. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, this is Matthew 25, 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So right here, this answers the question as to why he gave some 5, another 2, and another 1. It was according to their ability. So he knew, the master knew before he gave out those talents that the person who could handle 2 couldn't handle 5. And the person that got 1, well, thank God he only gave him 1. Because he couldn't handle the 1, you see. But you see here, what does it go on to say? And straightway took his journey. Then he that had 5 went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5. Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will, who's saying this? I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there hast that is thine. So he's going to give it back to him. The Lord answered, he said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given he that, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, when you're given opportunities, you can't be faithful for something or over something that you were never given or given instructions to be faithful over. So sometimes, you know, don't want people to get into guilt trips and all of these things, but when opportunities are presented, it's finding out, where's my place? What should I be doing? And I'll tell you the truth. This is what I was sharing on Sunday. I never aspired, I keep sharing this, maybe somebody will get it, because when I came to this church, I didn't even ask the Lord what I should do. They said, we need help. I said, all right, I'll help. So often people are saying, well, let me pray about that. That's just a, I'm going to tell you, that's a big fat excuse. It's the truth. Some people use and say, well, let me pray about that. I want to say you have no good intentions of helping. I'm just being real. Because when I came to this church, they said they needed help. I dug right in. Wherever they needed help, I helped. And I've said this, that, you know, from one thing to the next. Now, yes, when I started, I said, okay, whatever they need help, they need ushers, I'll be an usher. But partway into that, 2 years being an usher, I heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to go over and work in the sound department. But I wasn't sitting on my backside just waiting to hear from God to serve. I got busy. And the reason I'm saying all of this is because faithfulness in whatever you set your hands to is going to be key for elevation. It's going to be key for you to be used in another capacity, in a greater way. And I'll share this, that any man or woman of God that's in any position that is, I don't know if I want to use the word visible, because that may not be the right word, but any man or woman of God who's being used in any capacity by God started at some point doing something in the church, doing something that was not seen. It's the truth. And I'll be honest with you, I shared this Sunday. I know Pastor Greg and I have talked about this. I didn't ask to be put in this position right here. And I was very content to be running sound the rest of my life. I was happy and passionate about it. And I'd have stayed there the rest of my life. Except God had other plans. And He sees how faithful you are for a long time. He don't say anything. He just watches you. He watches you when things are going good and when things ain't going good. He sees whether you're going to show up on time. He sees whether you're going to be faithful to your word. He sees whether you're going to do things when you say you're going to do things. He wants to see, are you trustworthy? Are you honorable to your word? And those are the things that, I tell you the truth, you know, you hear this so often, but if it wasn't for the people in the support ministry, none of this would really run. It's the truth. So I can tell you there's a great value placed in God's heaven's perspective on the people that support the ministry. There's a great value. You know, you heard me. I'll share this again for those that may not have heard it. But, you know, I shared this a Sunday. When I was working here, just running sound and overseeing sound, I had my normal 5 days, Monday to Friday. And I would get here somewhere between 8 and 9, work till 5:30, and then begin to set up, and this was when we were having all-night prayer, then I would set up for all-night prayer and then would spin music for another 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours straight, no break. So by the time morning came, I'd been up 24 hours. I loved it because it was exciting to me to be used by God. Now, that don't sound exciting, but for me it was because, first of all, I like sound, I like music, but secondly, it was an opportunity for me, when I first started running sound, I'd hear the Holy Ghost down here tell me, do this. I'd sense when the move of God was coming. I'd begin to sense, okay, when I'd sense His presence and moving strong, I'd say, okay, eyes up, look, keep your eyes on the front of the stage. So it was a learning period for me, learning His presence. And it began the same thing with all-night prayer. We didn't have some of the things that we had. We had two CD players. I had stacks of CDs. And as He told me to play songs, I'd spin like a DJ, you know, flip, boop, boop, crossfade, and do that for 12 hours. But it was a time to listen to the Holy Ghost and not just be back there pushing buttons and hitting faders, but learn His ways. That's how you're faithful over a little bit. I don't care whether you're planting flowers or you're out sweeping a broom or you're vacuuming, you're listening to the Holy Ghost. And as you do that for a long time. I did that for 20 years. And then He said, okay, it's time to move on. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to sit in that position for 20 years. Sometimes things go a certain way because of the call. It can be that way. But as I was sharing, for one of these all-night prayers, I was grumbling. I was complaining. And the reason I was complaining is because I wanted to pray. And everybody was praying all night long, and I'm up there playing music, and I'm saying, gracious, I want to pray. I'm stuck here playing music. I want to pray. So that one night, I came in and said, I could care less whether they hear music or not. That's just the plain and simple of it. I said, I'm going to put a CD in and hit play, and I'm getting up and walk around here and pray. If it stops, it stops. If it don't, it don't. That's just the way it was. I'm just telling you how I was thinking. So as I'm walking around praying, this young lady came by, slapped something in my hand, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I kept walking, and I looked at this note, man, I started to cry. Like God reading your mail. And so let me read what he said, because it blesses me when I read it. This was given by this particular lady on June 28, 1997. Said, great is your faithfulness to me, your God, to your pastors, to the leadership and this portion of the body of Christ. I see your good works and your trusting heart. Continue to be faithful to me, your Lord, your Redeemer, your friend, and I will continue to be faithful to you. I'll tell you, I had to go back to my seat like this. You know how you are. He read your mail, and you're like, okay, enough of that. Suck it up. Go back there and play music. Get back in position. But what it told me was, all these years, he's watching. He's watching your heart. He's watching your motives. He's watching how you conduct yourself when nobody else is watching. When nobody else is here, all the lights are out, and you're still ticking away. He's watching. And that was the thing, I'll tell you, that blessed me. So when you're faithful over a little bit, he'll give you more. And even in this position, now as a pastor, guess what? He's watching. And he'll watch for a long time and see how you conduct yourself. See, before I wasn't handling the sheep. Now you are. So now I was just running sound equipment. Now we're responsible for the sheep. We're responsible for others that are coming in. And I'll guarantee you, if you can't be faithful over the sound equipment, you won't be faithful in this place. You won't. It's no different if you say, well, if you can't tithe on $1,000, folks will say, well, yeah, I'll tithe if I get $1,000,000. No, you won't. You will not. Scripture is very clear. Let me read it to you, just in case you had a lapse in memory. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So if you won't tithe on a dollar, you won't tithe on $1,000,000. You won't, because you're not faithful in that which is least. And so, you know, this move of God that we're in, and I don't say that is going to happen, we're in it. And there are people sitting out there that God is bringing that are hurting, that are looking for God, looking for answers to their life situations. And it's going to take our part to be used. And that's why it blessed me when I heard Mother Hine sharing about from Mark 1:38, let's go. Let's go into the other city. So we're going to have to get up and go. And yes, it's going to require finding our place, but sometimes I like when people say you can't steer a parked car. You got to get up and move. That may mean you have to just get up and do something. And then God will begin to steer you and direct you. But to just sit there and say, I'm going to wait on God till he tells... No. No. You got to just get up and start and do. Get up and go. Make yourself available. I'm thinking about, you can't... Let me say it this way. You can't be used if you're not there. That sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? But you got to be there to be used by God. That may sound too simplistic, but you have to be there to be used. Does that make sense? Let's turn over. I'm going to just go through a few scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 31. I like this scripture. Psalm 31. Because there are rewards for being faithful. Big rewards. But I shared something Sunday, and I really mean this from my heart, Because it really, I was blessed to hear Eddie James. He poured out his heart. He said, you can have the house, you can have the Beamer, you can have all of these things, but to see the change in a young man that's delivered from drugs and lifestyle, he said, that's worth more than any money or thing you can have. Priceless. And so I feel the same way. If I have it, fine. If I don't, fine. I'm going to pant after God and His work and His people. But I guarantee you, if you're faithful, the things will come. You don't have to seek after them. You seek after God. Psalm 31 and verse 23. It says, O love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord does what? He preserveth the faithful. Man, I like that. If you didn't, He preserves the faithful. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that's worth, as they say, all the money in China. That's worth serving God. That's worth being faithful to Him. It says here, He preserveth. That word means to guard, watch over, keep, preserve, guard from dangers. You're faithful to God, He'll guard you. He'll protect you. He'll have His angels watching over you. So that means there that if you're preserveth the faithful, that means those who are reliable. I'm just telling you what these Hebrew definitions are. It says reliable, faithful, trustworthy, someone who stands firm, somebody who is steady. Amen. And I'll read these. We read this on Sunday. Proverbs 28, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I like the voice. It says, a reliable person will not escape blessings. They won't escape it. Proverbs 26, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Proverbs 20, verse 6. 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. And then I'm going to read Psalm 89, verse 8. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee? That's a question mark. Or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee. His faithfulness, this New Living, says, where is there anyone as mighty as You, O Lord? Faithfulness is Your very character. That's Your character. Faithfulness is His character. So as we are seeking Him, we're to exhibit that same character. I guess, you know, when you ask, is God always there for you? Always there. What did He say? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So somebody who's faithful, if God is always there, and we're to be faithful, we're to be steady, trustworthy, reliable, somebody who can be counted upon, that means we're exhibiting the same type of character as the one who's in us. He's always there. Matthew 28:20 says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age. Now, hey, there's a different. How about that, huh? Ephesians 4:16. I want to look at this for a second. Ephesians 4. As I was looking at this particular scripture in light of faithfulness, and kind of caught my attention here. It's the King James. It says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I love the King James, but let me read it in another translation because it's not as direct or clear. It's the New Living. It says, under His direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Now listen to this. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So that means He places in the body every part as He sees fit, and each part does its own special work so that the other parts can grow. So that then what? It builds up itself up in love. The body grows and builds itself up in love. So each one of us has an assignment. Each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us has a responsibility. And that doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to wait until I get behind this or I reach this particular point. No, we each have a part to play. And part of that is I start over here and I'm working towards and being directed towards this particular destiny in my life. But as I walk that path, I'm supplying a need to the body. Every part has a part to play in supplying the need to every part. Isn't that true? That's what the scripture says. And part of that, you think about, this a second. When you think of, let's say your body, or you think of a car, every part has a part to play.
Right.
You've got a digestive system. You have a respiratory system. You've got an immune system. You've got all of these parts, these systems, let's call it that way. You have systems in your body. And each system has its own special part to play so that it can supply the whole body so it can function properly. So that means every single one of us in here, everyone listening to this tape or watching it, everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a responsibility. And as Pastor Judy was saying, let's go. It's no more, I'm too busy. Because the scripture here is very clear. If we keep getting too busy with things, we'll have things taken away from us and given to someone else, because God's plan is going to be fulfilled and it's going to get done. With you or without you, He is going to have it come to pass. And so our part to play, and this is part of being faithful and steady and consistent. How many like a consistent respiratory system? How many like a consistent digestive system? You think, well, you know, it's all right. It'll cause your whole body to shut down. It'll hinder the function of it'll slow you down. How many like breathing? I like breathing. So we have a respiratory system that you can't see, but it helps this body get to where it needs to go. and function. And that's the same thing here. God has raised up this ministry, and He has a plan and a purpose, and it's moving in a particular direction. Everything that His planned is going to be done. But we have a part to play. And the consistency, and that's what I'm saying, it's finding out what the needs are, being faithful to that, and then it's not just even in this church. It's being faithful. Think about this. It's being faithful with your money. It's being faithful with your prayer time. It's being faithful with your marriage. Being faithful in every area of your life. All of those have a part to play. You know, I'll share this. We don't talk about this much, but everybody's, well, let me ask it this way. How many think that God knows everything? It's kind of a He knows everything. He knew. So He knows what each one of us have on our plate, doesn't He? He knows what kind of responsibilities we have, what kind of bills to pay, and so forth and so on. And so when you go, you know what, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to tithe this week. So I'm just going to skip this week because I got too many bills. See, He doesn't crash in on your space and say, uh-uh-uh. He lets you make a choice. And so that's why when we're not faithful in those areas, it affects us. And I know Brother Hagin talked about this. You read his book, The Midas Touch. And he said, if the church would just tithe, it would have all its needs met. But the problem is, people don't tithe. And you think, well, really? Really? We don't talk about it here, but a whole lot of folk here don't tithe. And so maybe I'm talking to you, but I'm just sharing what it is, as they say. So when you're faithful over the little bit you have, you know, some folks say, yeah, I'm going to be a millionaire. Really? Tithe with the little that you have. Be faithful with that little bit, and God can trust you with the much. And so He watches how we handle money, this ministry. How do you handle money? How do you treat the servants of God that come in? And so those are the things when it comes to being faithful. I'd rather be faithful and when I'm not seen, because I can, you notice, you'll be rewarded openly. And you'll be rewarded in ways that you don't expect. Let's turn over a second. I'm going to look at these here. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Says, but the Lord is faithful. What is He? He's faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Well, I like that. I like a consistent God, a faithful God that'll establish me, and keep me from evil. I think that I'm reflecting on just some of the things that I've had to walk through, and I'm sure anybody who's gotten to any place in God can concur with this. I shared this on Sunday. Well, I didn't share this scripture, but 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And so we're going to have to go through some things. We're going to have to continue to be faithful when things don't feel good. And what is that? In other words, faithful in the good times and the bad times, or not so much bad times, but tests. And what does that do? That establishes us. It perfects us. It settles us. That's what Brother Hagin said after 65 years in the ministry. He said to young ministers, he said, "You know why I'm so steady today? Nothing rattles me." They all said, "Yeah, we want to know." He said, "I had to suffer." They didn't want to hear that.
Right.
He said, "I had to suffer some things." He said, "But nothing bothers me. Nothing rattles me. I'm settled." So the faithfulness, the usefulness to the body of Christ of that prophet, and really, any man or woman of God in that level has had to endure some things and be faithful. And so where we are, God is reminding us, nudging at our hearts, every single one of us. He nudges at mine. He reminds me of my responsibility. So when I think about this or that, he may say, "No, I want you to do that." So it's when those prompts come. See, sometimes, I was reading something recently. Reverend Tony Cook has a forum that he extends to pastors to answer questions or concerns from other pastors. And this pastor was, you know, expressing, I guess, some frustration that he'd been pastoring for 7 years, and he said, you know, he didn't see the growth that he thought it should be, and the people should be doing this and that and the other. And the thought occurred to me, be faithful with whatever you have. Whether it's 20 or 20,000, you're faithful over that which he has assigned you to be, and be happy and thrilled that you're being used by God. And be content. And so, we need to be content where we are, faithful to the directions that God gives us. And don't get uneasy because it's taking too long for what you think should be taking place. I mean, I know for me, God spoke to me when I was a very young man, and the Holy Ghost spoke, thought somebody was in my room with a booming voice, and kind of unnerved me when it happened. But it's the peace of God. And he shared some things that I was going to do. And this is part of it. And so that was in 1980, 81. And 20 some years later, things started to change in that direction. But I had to be faithful and not question. And so, yeah, there were times that I did think, well, maybe he didn't mean that. I'll be honest with you. I did. I said, I know, Lord, you said that, but maybe you meant this. No, he didn't. He meant exactly what he said. And so the key was just continue to be faithful, continue to be consistent, continue to be steady in the things that you were assigned to do. And that means if you're just called to be a housewife, be steady. If you're called to be just a husband and raise your children, be steady, be faithful, be there for them. And I think that's the key. Whatever it is, be faithful in that area, and God will reward you. He'll reward you with that. Glory to God. I hope that's not, you know, some folks say, yeah, I know that already. I know what you're saying already. But when you're walking through it and you have questions and concerns and things are, you know, the devil will play with your mind and you're thinking, well, maybe I should go somewhere else. Maybe I should go leave this and go somewhere else. Not unless he told you to. You'd be in trouble. You'd be in big trouble. I tell you, for me, being faithful is right up there with that Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible. It's not possible to please God without faith. And I'll say there, you look that scripture verse up, you look that word up, pistis, and it says fidelity, faithfulness. You can say you can't be faithful without faith. So you can't please God without your faithfulness. You can't do it. So I'd rather please God and have nothing and please Him. And quite frankly, I've already, through this one prophecy that was given to me, he said, great was your faithfulness. That's what he said to me. Great is your faithfulness. And so if we never heard him, just be assured that he counts that as a high price. And if you had nothing but his written word, and that's all you had to go by, that's enough. Because he said it. I count a high price on it. And he's looking in this ministry when the scripture says, who can find a faithful man or woman? Even in this setting, you know, however many we have here, even in this setting, no large or small, you're going to find some that will be faithful to a certain point, and God will use you. And those that extend themselves more, He'll use you more. And I believe that's why when people say, well, why is God always using them? Faithful. Faithful. And so I'm committed. I don't know about you, but I'm committed, and the more I meditate on it, the more I commit myself, because it's a life commitment. And sometimes the level of faithfulness that we have to God comes in degrees. Because He knows if he was to give you this, you wouldn't be faithful with it. Because you're not ready. It's too much. You'd say, it's too hard. I can't do that. I can't do that. It's too much. Too hard. So he give you like a good father. He give you a little bit. See how faithful you are with that. See how you do with the tough things. And are you going to be there when you need to be? You're going to pray. You're going to cry. You're going to do the things that you need to do. Are you there where you need to be? In whatever setting that is. And then when you mature enough, you may watch for a long time. And then it'll say, okay, they're ready. Okay, give you a little more. See how you do with that. See, some of us, if you got too much, you'd quit. And you'd just throw the towel in. Now, I can't sit here and talk about all of the things that we had to, I'll say it this way, endure in this walk that I'm walking in. There's a lot of things we had to endure to harden you. To harden you. So that when you're given a little more, you don't collapse under the pressure and the weight and things that come with that. So if you can't handle a little bit, you certainly won't get any more. And some folks say, good, you already told me I don't want any more. I'll just sit here. Well, I'll tell you what, then you are going to be just like the one that had one talent, dug it and stuck it in the ground, and you're going to have to stand before the master and explain why you dug your talent in the ground. So you still don't get away. You're still going to have to answer to him. The one with five, the one with two, and the one that got one, they all had to stand before him and answer, and as they say, fess up. So it's just better to get busy. Do what God has put in your heart to do and do that. Isn't that true? Nobody said it's comfortable. I reflect on the things that God has spoken to me as a young man. And some of it is unfolded, but some of it hasn't. And the reason probably some of it hasn't is because I need to mature some more. I need to be developed some more. Wouldn't that be true? Sometimes there's a season and a time for things. Well, sometimes you just... I remember Dr. Price said this one time. He said... He was wondering why, as a matter of fact, it was the prophecy he gave here at this church in 1990. He was talking about, this church is too small. He said, I know you just moved in here, but he said, you're not going to stay here. You might as well put a big for sale sign on it. That's what he said in 1990. But in that, he was talking, and he was saying, before he started to prophesy, he said, he asked the Lord one time, he was questioning why he didn't have some things, ministerially wise. And he said, as he matured, he looked back, he said, I'd have killed the sheep. I'd have killed them all. He said, I wasn't ready. I was too immature. So you can see somebody that had and still very active in ministry at 80-some years old and had a very large ministry, but he said, he needed to be perfected. He said he wouldn't have handled the sheep properly. And so that's part of the development and the process. So all of us, whatever, wherever we're at, we need to be what? Perfected, established, and it says we need to suffer some things. That means we need to go through some things. We need to be pruned and perfected, so that God can use us and we can be a benefit to the other body parts. And I think that's the thing for me, is that every joint supply, every joint has a part to play. Every one of us. But we need to find out what that is. I know Pastor Hagen, when we're out there, sometimes he'll come over and sit with us. And I think one of the times we were there this last year, or the year before, I don't remember which year it was, but he said, "You see this young man here? I think it was Doug Jones' son." Doug Jones is the national director over the Rhema Ministers, the Ministerial Association. He said, "His son is this, I'll say guru, but he's good with money." And he said, "He just blesses every week, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a week, he funnels into that ministry. That everything he touches is just, he prospers in it." That's what God has called him to do. You see. So whatever God has called, so what is he doing? That joint is supplying funds and money into that ministry to help it, to supply, right? So those are the kind of things that we need to find out where our part is, where our place is, and get busy. Amen? Praise God. I'm just going to take, if somebody has a question, I'll answer it if I can. But does anybody have any thoughts, any questions about this, or is this just too basic for it? No? I believe the Lord prompted me to touch on this for a few lessons. I believe it's on the heart of God to talk about this subject. Not that we're deficient in any way, but whatever the reason is, God had a purpose to touch on our hearts and remind us about being faithful to Him, faithful to His call, faithful to His people, faithful in wherever we're assigned. You see. Amen. I'm going to close. Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us about being faithful, faithful in the vineyard where we're placed. And Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to your assignments. We commit to be faithful as you are faithful to us. Steady, reliable, consistent, trustworthy, honorable in all that we do, so that we can hear from you that we're faithful. Well done, a good and faithful servant. So, Father, we commit our hearts once again to you. Not our will, as the Master said, not my will, but your will be done. Whether I like it or not, it's your will. I submit to it. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for, if correction is needed, we receive it. Time is short, and the masses and the fields are white with harvest. And we make ourselves available to be used by you, Lord, in an ever-increasing way. We put aside our own wants and desires, and we submit unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.